Ekatra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge, Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI. Welcome, everyone. Okay, today we're heading way back, like ancient Rome back.
We are, but the ideas feel surprisingly, well, current, don't they?
Totally. It's almost like we're looking at a kind of high-performance operating system for the human mind.
That's a great way to put it.
We're doing a deep dive into the source material of the Enchiridion by Epictetus. It's basically a handbook, a manual for psychological freedom.
And it's really foundational stuff. If you listening have ever felt that awful knot of anxiety, you know, or frustration because things just aren't going your way.
Which is everyone, right?
Exactly. This handbook offers a really practical antidote. Epictetus tackles that huge human question. How can we live a genuinely fulfilling life, what the Stoics called eudaimonia, when the world is so unpredictable, often hostile even, and always changing?
And the answer he gives is, it's almost startlingly simple, but tough.
Deceptively simple is the word.
Yeah. He says the master key to unlocking that kind of inner peace, that resilience we all want, lies in just one core concept.
The dichotomy of control.
Right. Just relentlessly dividing everything, absolutely everything, into two buckets. What is up to us and what is not up to us. That's it.
But what gives this idea such incredible weight isn't just the logic. It's the person who taught it. Epictetus wasn't just some academic in an ivory tower.
No, far from it.
He lived this stuff. He was born around 50 CE in Hierapolis, which is modern-day Turkey, and he was born a slave.
Think about that. His actual name, Epictetus, it literally means acquired or gained property.
The irony is just staggering. Here's a man teaching about inner freedom, ultimate liberty, who himself had zero external freedom. He was owned by someone else.
And it wasn't just that. He was physically disabled, too. Apparently, his master deliberately broke his leg at some point, leaving him lame for life.
It's hard to even imagine, but it means when he talks about resilience, about controlling your response to hardship.
He knows exactly what he's talking about. It's not theory.
Not at all. It's wisdom forged in the absolute fire of real suffering. He actually studied Stoicism under Musonius Rufus while he was still enslaved. So his focus on the inner world, on character.
That was literally the only place he had any control. The only domain where he could exercise any real power.
Precisely. And he didn't leave behind some huge, daunting philosophical system.
No, thankfully. Yeah. He left us the Enchiridion, which just means handbook or manual.
Yeah, it's super concise. Just 53 short passages, almost like aphorisms. They were actually compiled by his student, Arian.
And it wasn't meant for just, you know, casual reading on a Sunday afternoon.
No, it was designed for askesis for practice. Daily, constant application. Something you'd carry with you, mentally and maybe even physically, to consult throughout your day.
Okay, so let's get to the heart of it. That core insight you mentioned earlier, the dichotomy of control.
Right. This is the foundation for everything else in the book. Genuine happiness, genuine freedom, Epictetus says, is only possible if you truly internalize this split.
Trying to influence externals is okay, but trying to control them.
That's the source of all our distress. Anxiety, anger, frustration, despair. It all comes from trying to control what you fundamentally cannot.
Okay, so let's draw that line really clearly for everyone. What is in that first bucket? What is actually truly up to us?
It's purely our inner world, our opinions, our judgments about things, our desires, what we aim for, our aversions, what we try to avoid, our impulses to act, and maybe most importantly, our responses, how we choose to react to whatever happens. That's it. That's the zone of our complete power.
And the other bucket, things not up to us.
Basically everything else. Your body, its health, its aging, your possessions, your property, your reputation, what other people think of you.
Ouch, that's a big one today.
Huge. Also things like your job title, political office, the actions of other people, natural disasters, the economy, traffic, you name it. If it's external, it's not up to you.
And the cost of getting this wrong, of mixing up the buckets.
That's where all the negative emotions come from. Epictetus is crystal clear. Suffering arises when we desperately try to control these external things, or maybe more subtly, when we peg our happiness and self-worth to them, like needing praise or needing a certain outcome to feel okay.
So if your sense of well-being depends on, say, your boss being happy with your work,
you're setting yourself up for misery because you don't control your boss's mood or judgment.
But if your well-being depends only on your judgment about the situation, like, okay, I did my best, the boss's reaction is external information, not a judgment on my core self.
Then you remain secure, untouchable, really. That's the freedom principle. By focusing only on perfecting our inner world, our judgments, our character, our responses, we become, in his words, free, unimpeded, and serene.
The entire defense system is internal.
Built by you, maintained by you, completely within your power.
Okay, that's the big idea. But how did Epictetus suggest we actually put this into practice day to day? What are the techniques?
Right, the psychological workout. Well, the first huge tool is about mastering our judgments. Or opinions about things.
Okay.
This is maybe the most famous Stoic idea found in passage 5. Men are disturbed not by things, but by the views which they take of them.
So the event itself isn't the problem. It's our interpretation of the event.
Exactly. An earthquake is just an event. Suffering because of the earthquake, the fear, the despair that comes from our judgment about the event, an insult. Just words, sound waves.
Mm-hmm.
The hurt comes from our judgment. That person harmed my reputation, or that reflects badly on my character.
Okay, but what if the judgment seems true?
Okay.
Like, what if someone criticizes your work and objectively you did mess up? How do you handle that without suffering, according to Epictetus?
Great question. He'd say the poor performance is a fact, an external event that has happened. It's now in the not up to us bucket.
Right.
What is up to you is the response. Do you accept the feedback rationally? Do you learn from it? Do you resolve to do better next time, maintaining your integrity? That's your domain.
So the suffering only kicks in if you let that external label failure, incompetent, define your inner self-worth.
Precisely. Only you can allow that damage. The discipline, then, is to pause before you automatically agree with a negative interpretation. Ask, is this event truly harmful to my character, or is it just an external fact?
And this pause, this questioning of judgments, it also applies to dealing with loss.
Yeah.
Right? He talks about premeditatio malorum.
Yes. The premeditation of adversity or loss. It sounds kind of morbid, maybe.
A little bit, yeah. Thinking about bad things happening.
But it's not about being negative. It's a psychological inoculation. It's about building resilience so that when things inevitably do go wrong, you're not completely floored by shock.
Okay.
And weirdly, it actually increases your appreciation for things now. He uses that fast example of the cup.
The cherished cup.
Yeah. When you're drinking from a favorite cup, remind yourself, this is just a cup. Cups can break. When you hug someone you love, remind yourself, this person is mortal.
So the point isn't to dwell on the future loss, but to
recognize the impermanent nature of all external things. So when the cup does break or loss occurs, your reaction isn't, oh no, this is terrible, unfair. It's more like, ah, yes, this is the nature of cups. This is the nature of life.
Acceptance, not victimhood.
Exactly. And this leads straight into another really powerful kind of counterintuitive idea, his maxim. Demand not that events happen as you wish, but wish them to happen as they do happen, and you will go on well.
Wow. Okay, that's a big leap. Wishing for things to happen exactly as they do, even the bad stuff.
It's the ultimate alignment of your will with reality. It's moving beyond just grudging acceptance to what Nietzsche later called amor fati, a love of fate, actively embracing whatever happens as necessary, or at least as reality.
That sounds incredibly challenging, especially when dealing with other people.
Yeah.
I mean, most of our daily stress comes from social interactions, right?
Mm.
Difficult colleagues, critics.
Absolutely. And Epictetus has some brilliant, very practical advice there, especially for handling criticism.
Okay, let's hear it.
He suggests that if someone reports to you that so-and-so is speaking ill of you, don't get defensive. Don't even explain yourself.
What do you do?
You should just reply, ah, well, he must have been ignorant of my other faults. Otherwise, he wouldn't have mentioned only these.
Huh. That's brilliant. It completely turns it around.
Doesn't it? It disarms the criticism by showing your focus isn't on your fragile reputation, which is external, but on your own ongoing project of self-improvement, your character.
Which is internal and up to you.
Exactly. And this connects to his idea of role ethics. We all have various roles in life, right? Parent, employee, citizen, friend.
Mm-hmm. Duties that come with those roles.
Yes. Epictetus says we must strive to fulfill the duties of these roles virtuously, to the absolute best of our ability. Control the quality of our effort, our intentions, our actions within that role.
But there's always a but with externals.
But we must remain detached from the results and from how others perform their roles. Act excellently, but accept the outcomes, whatever they may be, with equanimity.
Okay, let's push on that. Say you're a parent. You pour everything into raising your child well. That's fulfilling your role virtuously. How can you possibly be detached from the outcome, from how your child turns out?
That's the crux, isn't it, the Stoic challenge. You control your actions as a parent. The love you give, the guidance, the example you set, That's your duty.
Right.
You do not control your child's choices, their temperament, the impact of their peers, the opportunities they get or miss, the ultimate path their life takes.
So the suffering comes if you try to own their life as part of your domain of control?
Precisely. You focus solely on playing your part, your role, with wisdom and care. The results belong to the larger cosmos, to fate, to factors beyond you. You perform your duty, then let go.
This keeps circling back to that central theme then. Virtue is the only true good. If externals, outcomes, reputation, health, wealth don't ultimately define our well-being.
What does? Your character, your inner state. The classical Stoic virtues, wisdom, good judgment, justice, treating others fairly, courage, facing difficulty well, and self-discipline, moderation. These are the only reliable goods.
Why? Because they can't be taken away by external forces.
Exactly. Circumstances can strip you of everything else, possessions, freedom, health, even life. But they cannot force you to make bad judgments, act unjustly, be cowardly, or lose self-control. That power remains yours until the very end.
But developing that kind of character, that isn't easy. It's not just a matter of agreeing with the philosophy.
Oh, absolutely not. Epictetus hammers this home constantly. He uses the metaphor of an athlete. Stoicism requires ascesis, continuous, rigorous training.
Like psychological weightlifting.
Totally. He talks about the procopton, the student, the one making progress. You have to train hard, endure setbacks, face psychological discomfort, even be willing to be misunderstood or ridiculed sometimes for not chasing the usual things.
The procopton. That's a great concept. It shifts the focus from achieving some final state of perfection to the process of improvement itself.
Yes. It's about measuring your effort, your consistency, your intention, things that are up to you, rather than just the external results, like whether you got the promotion or won the argument, progress is internal.
And that ties into one of his most pointed lines, doesn't it? Passage 46. Don't explain your philosophy, embody it.
Boom. Talk is cheap. Living it, especially under pressure, that's the real test. He constantly pointed to Socrates as the ultimate example.
Right. Facing an unjust death sentence, but maintaining his principles, his calm, his dignity, proving that external power couldn't touch his true self.
Okay, let's bring this right into the 21st century. How can we apply this dichotomy of control, like really practically, in our modern lives, say at work?
Oh, the workplace is a perfect arena for this. Think about job stress, difficult bosses, uncertainty.
Yeah.
Applying the dichotomy means you pour your energy into what you can control.
Right.
The quality and ethics of your work, how clearly you communicate, your professionalism, your attitude.
Right, your performance, your effort.
But the promotion you didn't get, the difficult colleague's behavior, the company restructuring that affects your project. That's all external, not up to you.
So you acknowledge it. Maybe you make strategic decisions based on it, like looking for a new job if the environment is truly toxic.
Right. That decision is in your control.
But you don't waste emotional energy raging against it or feeling victimized by it. You accept the reality of the external and focus on your virtuous response. It's a massive antidote to burnout.
And what about the digital age? Social media, the constant pressure for validation, likes, reputation.
Oh, man, it's like Epictetus saw it coming. This is where his advice on reputation is gold. Your self-worth comes from your character, period.
Not from follower counts or how perfectly curated your online image is.
Exactly. Those things are external opinions, granted or withheld by others, totally outside your control. Chasing that external validation is, in his view, a recipe for guaranteed anxiety and misery. Focus on being a good person. Let the likes fall where they may.
Okay, final practical point. For someone listening right now who feels genuinely overwhelmed, maybe anxious about the future, What's the immediate actionable takeaway from Epictetus?
It's that simple, repetitive cognitive tool. Anxiety is almost always about projecting fear onto a future you can't control.
Right. What if X happens?
So you have to catch yourself, ask, is this specific thing I'm worrying about right now actually within my control? Be honest.
And if the answer is no, which it usually is for future worries,
then you have to consciously, deliberately practice letting go of that worry. Withdraw your mental energy from that uncontrollable thing and redirect it entirely to what you can control in this present moment.
Which might just be your breathing or your next small action or simply your judgment about the situation.
Exactly. Your response, your effort, your choice right now. It sounds simple, but that constant redirection is the core practice.
It really is a fundamental shift, isn't it? Moving away from feeling like a victim of circumstances, The world is happening to me, towards this state of empowered acceptance. The world is happening, and I choose my response. That seems to be the enduring power of this little handbook.
That true freedom, that inner peace, it's always available right now, regardless of what's going on outside. It just depends on how you use your mind, how you direct your judgment.
Your mind's power is invincible, he says, if you use it correctly.
Yeah, the universe doesn't care about your preferences, but your reaction to the universe. That's everything. That's your realm.
So maybe this is the final thought we leave you with, something provocative to chew on. What is one specific thing right now in your life today that you are trying desperately to control, but which is clearly, objectively outside of your power?
Could be someone else's opinion, a health outcome, a past event, a future uncertainty.
Just pick one thing and then really imagine it. What would it feel like right now to simply let go, to consciously choose to release your grip on controlling that specific external?
To align your desire with what is rather than what you wish was.
That feeling of potential liberation, that sudden lightness. Epictetus would say that feeling and the choice to embrace it is entirely and always up to you.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.